Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to return back to your house again tonight, a chance to receive one more blessing, that free gift that you have. Just lay it out for us to take in and encourage all of us to take it into our fill and help us to encourage others to come out and be filled with your blessings as well. And please open our hearts and minds as we get into your word and give us the message you want us to receive, and then encourage us this week to share that message with others. Thank you so much for the opportunity. We pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. This morning we were talking about contentment, satisfaction, being content with knowing and understanding that you have the Lord Jesus Christ in you in the form of the Holy Ghost and can see you through anything. Tonight we're going to be talking about giving Christ completely control. Just give Jesus Christ control over your life completely. We've spoken on this different ways through the years. Even that song that came out a couple years back about Jesus take the wheel. Like you're going down the road and you're fixing to have a terrible accident. That's when you want to let go and let the Lord take over and see you through that. We do that same thing in our lives, or should do that same thing in our lives. When we see things are messing up, it's a good possibility that you're trying to control it instead of letting the Lord control it. You can't steer the vehicle from the passenger seat. You need to be in the driver's seat. But should it be you, or should it be the Lord in the driver's seat? Are you in the driver's seat and you got the Lord in the passenger seat? Are you trying to let him steer from the passenger side? Or are you in the passenger side and leaving the steering wheel alone, letting the Lord steer your lives completely? Not you reaching over and trying to steer it from the passenger side, because you don't have the proper perspective in relationship to the steering wheel, and you can get off of the track, out of the road, into the ditch, over the hill. I know from personal experience, you can't steer a car from the passenger side. Back in 1974, 75, somewhere around there, I was on my way to school, and it was ice on the roads, and I hit an icy patch. And back then, you had these bench seats in your cars. This was the 1965 Ford Custom, them slick seats, and I had not armor all it, back then there was some other products, there was some silicone products, you spray on your seat, get them shining, make it look nice. Well, the disadvantage of that is it's pretty slick. Not many people wore seat belts back then. I was going down the road, hit this ice patch, and it was steering itself. I wasn't steering it, and I grabbed the wheel and turned it real hard to the right because it was taking me over into the oncoming traffic in the left lane. And it dug in good. And as it dug in good, it shot me right out of the road into the ditch. And when I hit that ditch, the right side of the car impacted along there, still going down the ditch. But I was all the way over in the passenger seat by this time, because slick and no seat belt. And I could hear just the side of my car getting all tore up. And that was tearing me up, because in my car, I love my car. You know, a youngster is when he has his first car and all. So I grabbed the wheel from the passenger side. Thought, well, okay, I'll steer it out of the ditch back in the road. You can't properly steer from that side, which I found out very quickly. As I tried to get it back in the road, oversteered again. It dug into the dirt, cut me all the way across the road, across both lanes, over an embankment, airborne. Got my first feeling of free fall, where you're just floating in space. It's like time just slowly ticking by. As I raised up, I could see the car was turning. I wasn't turning, but the car was turning as it was going over the embankment. And it nosedived into the ground and turned upside down on a fence, on a line of fence posts. One of the posts come through the windshield right into the driver's seat. But I wasn't in the driver's seat. I was in the back seat by then. And tumbling around upside down. And here I, you know, come to my senses, and the car is upside down. I'm sitting there on the ceiling of the car looking around like, what just happened? And totally unharmed. Only thing it did was it took the wristwatch off of my wrist. And it was a tiny little spot like a cat might have scratched the tip of my nose. And that was it. Totally. But my car was totaled. It tore it up bad. But I found it real quick. You can't steer the car from the passenger side. Same thing with our lives. You cannot steer your life if you have given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you put him in the driver's seat. Now, you're supposed to be over in the passenger seat, but you're still trying to drive your vehicle from the passenger side You can wind up in a ditch or over an embankment because you're trying to take control over something you should have given Jesus Christ complete control over. And that is to steer the vehicle of your life. Submit yourself completely to the Lord. And then you get into pastor seat and don't be telling Him how to drive. As many of you all know, of course, there's more women in here than there is men. Those backseat drivers, or you're always telling your man how to drive, slow down, watch this, turn here, don't turn there. You know, we all know it happens. We all do it. But who's really driving the vehicle? You know, are you driving the vehicle, or is the one that's behind the steering wheel driving it? So, in James chapter 4, James, the half-brother of Jesus, is known for writing this letter and used in the scriptures here for teach us about submitting yourselves. In James chapter 4, let's pick it up in verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask, and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Who have you put in control? Is it you, the world, in control? Are you letting the officials? Are you letting the doctors? Are you letting your supervisors? Are you letting your advisors? Are you letting your counselors lead your life, help you make the decisions in your life? Or are you turning and asking God? Are you asking God in things in the wrong way, as he mentions up here about you ask amiss? Is it because of your own selfish lust that you want something changed in your life? Is it because of your own greed? Is it because of your own pride? Or are you asking for the right reasons? That's what he's telling him here. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. If you're coming to the Lord in the right way and asking for His guidance, asking for His control in your life because you want to bring honor and glory to Him, then you ask in the right way and you come to Him humbly. But if you come to Him and ask Him to give you prosperity in something because you want the benefit yourself, because you want be puffed up with pride because something you have achieved in the eyes of others, then you've asked amiss and you come in with pride instead of coming in humbly. In verse 7 it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. First part of this is very important. If you're out there in the world and you never received Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you say, okay, I'm going to resist the devil and he'll flee from me, and then I'll get myself all cleaned up and I'll start coming to church. It don't work that way. You missed the first part of it. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. When you come to Jesus Christ and ask Him for forgiveness and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, Lord is ultimate authority. Have you and truthfully and sincerely given Him lordship of your life? If you have not, if you've reserved some back saying, okay, I want you to come on to my crew, I want to hire you as an associate of mine, an advisor amongst my staff, then you failed. You didn't do the right thing. You've got to put Him in the right position. As it would say in business, the CEO or the chief manager or the supervisor in control, He is the one that is in control. He is the ultimate authority. He is the Lord. And until you receive Him and submit yourself to Him, you can resist the devil all you want. It ain't going to work. He might back off a little bit to give you some thought that maybe you're all right. Kind of like when you're fishing and you catch a fish and you're reeling him in. You want to let off just a little bit so that fish swims a little bit, thinking that, okay, he's going to get away. Well, no, he ain't going to get away. You're going to reel him back in. The devil can do that to us as well. And he can, if we totally submit ourselves to Jesus Christ and we resist the devil, he's going to flee. Because that's what the Word tells us. We trust the Word. We believe the Word fully and completely. It simply says, submit yourselves therefore to God. If you are truly and fully in submission to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Then when that temptation comes along, when that problem comes along, when you're in that ditch and you're messing up really bad because you've tried to take control of it yourself, and you've given Satan control of your life instead of God, if you've truly and sincerely submitted yourself to the Lord, you resist that devil, he'll get out of there, he'll flee from you. Even if it's your own lust, your own desire to take control of things yourself, it'll leave you, and the Lord will take over and get you back on the straight and narrow and on the right path, safely on down the road where you should be. All if we simply realize that Jesus Christ is the Lord, our supreme authority, and give Him that authority in all aspects of your life, not just an associate advisor, someone you turn to whenever you have a problem that you can't solve, and they say, okay, let me call in my advisors, my counsel, come on in and help me solve this problem. You've tried to take the position of authority in your own life, which we are not, because we are not our own. We are bought with a price, the price that Jesus Christ paid, and that was on the cross, shedding His blood. So we're not our own anymore. So we cannot say that we are in control of our lives, that we have authority over our lives. Or that statement that so many like to use, it's my body, I can do with it as I please. It's not your body, it's bought with a price. Jesus Christ paid that price on the cross. So we must submit ourselves completely and totally to Him and His will. Then He can guide us down the right pathway and give us that peace that passeth all understanding that we were talking about earlier. Because when you become a Christian, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become one of the family, as He tells us in His Word in John chapter 1, in verse 12. But as many as received Him, who the Him, Jesus Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Believe in the name of Jesus Christ. And this is more than just a mental or psychological acceptance of the fact that Jesus Christ existed at one time in history. Because that is undisputed. Even those that proclaim they don't receive Him or acknowledge Him as their Lord and Savior know that He was down here on this planet for a time period. It takes more than believing that. This belief in here is the belief which you are trusting and receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. Then you become, as He says here, given that power to become one of the sons of God. That means you're taken in. You are adopted so that you become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now you become part of the family. When you're part of the family, you are born into that. In verse 13, which were born not of the blood. It wasn't because you were of a particular tribe that we studied recently in Numbers that you're eligible for this inheritance. And isn't that? Nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It's not your own inner desire because it looks like an enjoyable group over there. They're always having these dinners and these singings and stuff. I want to join that social club. And you decide to become a Christian or join a church because of that. You're going to become part of the group. It's not in that. It's not what it is. You don't come in for those reasons and really become a child of God. You don't come into the adopted family because of that. But you come into it because it says, but of God. It is of God. He's the one that drawed you in. He's the one, the Holy Ghost and His work has drawn you in, put you under conviction. And it is by that that you come to know the Lord. And when you receive Him, when you accept that calling that is coming to you, broadcast to you in so many different ways. It can be through a Bible tract, it can be through a preaching you hear on the radio or the TV or a friend, an associate, a loved one, a family member, whatever that spreads the gospel and shares that or their testimony with you, a witness to you. And the Holy Ghost, if He's working in that, is the one who's doing the real work, which is tugging at your heart, which is opening your eyes so that you can hear and see and understand Him in that work and receive Him. Once you do that, then you become one of the children of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Give Him total and complete control and let Him have supreme authority over everything that you do. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." The grace, because this work here that we just read about of God is grace, unmerited favor. It isn't because you earned it. It isn't because that you worked so hard that you desired to achieve salvation. It isn't by your works. It is by grace, unmerited favor. Through the faith in Jesus Christ. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. It isn't because you earned it. It isn't because you worked for it. Lest any man should boast. If it was because of your work, then you could brag about it. Look what I have achieved. I have saved myself through all these marvelous works that I have done for God. Then you'd be puffed up, like so many people have tried to do in history past. They puff themselves up. They give themselves titles and authority over others. They rule and reign over others as being some supreme being themselves, taking on different titles of deity for themselves and positions where they rule and reign over others, their underlings. They call themselves shepherds and fathers and popes and bishops and pastors. But yet, what are they really? They are just another servant of God. They are just another brethren. They are just part of the kingdom of God if they've truly and sincerely given their lives over to the Lord. But be careful when you go taking on these titles that you don't get puffed up with pride and thinking it is based upon your work and your effort. The best leader is those who are willing to serve. Don't get puffed up with that pride, because then you would have an opportunity to boast about it. Look what I have achieved. Down the wrong pathway. Faith. A dictionary definition of the word faith is confidence in the trustworthiness of God. It is the conviction that what He says is true and that what He promises will come to pass. There's a lot in the definition of faith. Do you truly have confidence in the trustworthiness of God? Do you truly believe His word? If you truly believe His word and the promises that He has in here, then you can, by faith, give Him control, because He tells us He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. He tells us He's going to guide us. He tells us He's going to give us a comforter. He tells us so many comforting words. He tells us He has all these wondrous gifts laid out there for the taking, if we just come and get it. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. And you continue reading through chapter 11 of Hebrews, you see examples of those of the past that had true and honest faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in God's work, in their lives, and gave control of themselves over to Him completely. They do that, then they get the blessings that come along with that. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it reads, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," they're like, okay, we have the history. If you read the rest of chapter 11 there, you know all of this in the past. Great witnesses, great examples of people that have given their lives over to the Lord and had faith in Him and trusted Him as their Lord. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Run with patience the race that is set before us. That sounds kind of like a contradiction in itself. Run with patience? Like, well, if you're going to be running a race, you don't want to be slow and patient about it. But yet, He's telling us, you run with patience. How can we run with patience? You're in the race. You're doing your very best. You're continuing to run. And you're going to continue to run and run, even if you can't see the end. You can't see the finish line. You're patiently waiting on the Lord to give you the strength, to give you the guidance, let you know where you're going, let you know where the finish line is. That's the kind of patience he's talking about here. The faith and trust in Jesus Christ to see you through that race completely and totally and fully all the way through it. And when you're running wide open. If you've ever run a race or run a relay, it's like you know you have to reserve a little bit in yourself because you got to sprint there at the last little bit to make it cross that line. So you're holding back. He's saying here, don't hold back. Keep on running full force all the way and patiently, which means waiting on the Lord and understanding the guidance that comes along with that, the strength that will come along with that, trusting in God to see you through that all the way through to the finish line. Because he tells us further here. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we're looking at Jesus Christ, and we've totally surrendered our lives to him, totally submitted, given him complete and total control, then we don't have to be anxious. We don't have to try to hurry things up ourselves and try to make a prophecy come true in our lives because we want it to hurry up. We don't have to do that. If we're patient, we're waiting upon the Lord. We're listening to him. We've given him complete control. But yet we're still supposed to be running that race just as fast as we can, full force, wide open, not worried about reserving a little bit to sprint at the end of it. Because it's by his strength, not by our strength, that we make it through all of that. In Matthew chapter 13, he gives us a little bit of a clue about faith here, about how it can grow. When you first receive Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you only have a little bit of faith. That's in faith in the calling of the Holy Ghost. That was real, that calling. You trust that. And in some of the word that you might know and understand. It is small, it's tiny, it's like a seed. In the parable that he gives us in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 31, it reads, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. If you plant that seed in the right ground and trust in the Lord to grow that seed, it will grow into a wondrous tree, huge. If we don't mess it up ourselves, try to take control of it, give him complete and total control of it, including your faith. If you say, well, I don't have enough faith to do that. If you have enough faith to trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, ask for faith. He'll give you faith. If you're going to use that faith for the right purpose, he's going to give you that, just like anything else you ask for. If it's for the right reasons, he's going to give it to you. If it's to bring honor and glory to God, he's going to give that to you. If it's within the big, massive buffet he's laid out right there, free for the taking, he wants us to come and get it. And faith is on that table. Come on up and receive it. Full helping of it. And then go back again and again. And be totally filled with it. Grow into this huge tree that he's talking about here. Because it starts out with so little. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have. As we spoke about earlier. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Once you give him control, he's not going to leave you. Give him total control. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. As he tells us in his word and the encouragement that comes from his word. And whatever you lack, ask for the right reasons. Ask in the right way, not asking amiss, as you mentioned earlier. Get your pride out of the way. Humble yourselves. Come to the Lord. Say, Lord, you're in the driver's seat. I'm in a passenger seat. Help me keep my hands to myself and not try to steer the vessel. You're in control. Take me down the pathway you want me to be in. And then go the way He's leading you. Not trying to take control yourselves. Because that's when we mess everything up. Like I said earlier, you can't drive from the passenger seat. So let the Lord drive. Give Him total control. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the opportunity to be able to be the passenger in that vehicle. The opportunity to have You as our pilot, as our driver, as our full and complete control of our lives, to be our ultimate authority, to be the supreme leader. We thank You so much for that. Help us always understand that we are not our own, that we are bought with a price, the price that You paid. Lead You and direct us this week that everything that we do bring honor and glory to You and not to ourselves. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. If you would, please.